I titled my message this week, A Contrast Between Love and Hate. I don't know if you remember years ago when we were kids, we would write on our hands and different things with a pen. Now, that was before tattoos were, like, you know, everywhere. Now people get it done all the time. But, you know, some of the boys in the class would write on their hand one side love and the other side hate. Well, that's crazy, isn't it, when you think about it? But now we know there's gangs that have love and hate tattooed on their hands. So what's the contrast between love and hate? I think that's what Jesus meant when he instructed us to hate our father and mother in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Now, some translations put a little note in there, they don't use the word hate. But I think we must take this verse in the context of the chapter. Because Jesus is teaching his disciples like any good teacher, he gets the students thinking in this case. And he begins with a true statement that is hard to understand, and it is. And then he clarifies it with a metaphor. The true statement, if you would. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children and brothers and sisters, yeah, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now, that seems if we don't hate our family, we can't be a disciple of Jesus. Or is there more to this? Well, what I'm going to do, what I'd like to do a teaching on this before I do a sermon or sermonize the scripture. The teaching, I think, must be able to give us a understanding that what it means to hate our mother or father. And then Jesus relates to a man who builds his house without first coming and counting the cost. The man finds that he cannot follow through with what he set out to do, and he leaves the house unfinished. He cannot pay what is required. The illustration helps us to explain his difficult statement about hating our mother and father. Namely, we must count the cost of being a disciple. There is a cost, you know, and that is the point of the passage. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called it cheap grace. So we have to be able to understand the cheap grace and the cost of discipleship. In order to be a disciple, we must be willing to give up everything for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's what I was saying and what I've been looking at the scriptures and talking about Jesus for months and years, because he is the center of everything that we do in the church. After all, he is the head of the church. So, I digress. Following Jesus, though, requires commitment, faithfulness. Even if our parents choose not to follow the Lord, when we are faced with that painful choice of loyalty to our family versus the loyalty to Jesus, we gotta choose Jesus. Even if our family members disown us, or even worse, for being Christians, we must follow Christ. It is in this sense that we are hating our family, as Jesus commanded to hate father and mother. And it requires us to prioritize our relationship with Christ over the relationship with parents and siblings, other family members, and friends. Of course, it is right to love our family members, and we want them to love and follow God also. But elsewhere, Jesus confirmed the fifth commandment that we must honor our fathers and our mothers. He did that over in Mark chapter 7. And then the Apostle Paul sternly warns anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, is denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever, 1 Timothy 5. So the statement that Jesus made that we must hate our father and mother must be seen in relation to the whole scripture. You know, you always heard me say, what happens if you take a scripture out of context, you end up with a pretext, and we don't want to do that. We want to be able to understand the teachings and the love of Christ. Now, his point is not that we are to be heartless towards our family, only that we must love him more. Now, this is comparative love, and it's clearly described in Matthew 10. But we must not forget that included in Jesus' condition that a follower must hate his father and mother, and it's the condition that he likewise hate even his own life. Now, Jesus is not teaching an emotional hatred of one's parents any more than he's teaching self-hatred. No, the emphasis on self-denial and absolute surrender immediately following is Jesus' instruction in verse 27. What did he say? You got to carry your own cross. Now, some translations make Jesus' meaning a little clearer. If you want to mean my disciples, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Well, the Amplified Bible says that a follower of Christ must hate his family members. So in a sense of indifference to a relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude towards God, it is a hated comparison, not an absolute hatred. It's interesting, isn't it? So the word hate in Luke 14:26 that we just read deserves a closer look. In the Hebrew Scriptures, the contrast between love and hatred is sometimes used to communicate preference. For example, in dealing with inheritance, marriages, the Mosaic Law referred to two wives, one beloved and another hated. Now, this is a good and literal translation. There was a loved wife and a hated wife. Now, other translations usually soften the hated wife to be unloved, like it says in one, or less love. The law is not indicating emotional hatred on the part of the husband, only a preference. One wife was preferred to the other, and we must have similar use of the love-hate idiom in Malachi. You can find that in Malachi over in also in Romans 9. So many Christians will never have to make a painful choice of turning their backs on their family in order to follow Christ. But all around the world, there are many other Christians who face shunning, disavowing, persecution from their families. And these believers, if they are to be true to Christ, are forced to live in a way perceived as hateful towards their father and their mother, their wives, their children, their brothers and sisters. Now, I think all believers are called to acknowledge the Lordship of Christ and to show him preference over all our earthly ties. And those who must sacrificially with these earthly relationships have to be aware of that. Because with that, we are in a relationship with Christ, and we should put him first above all things. But we don't have to hate our brothers and our sisters, but we got to be committed to Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but the vision that Jesus was talking about was very inspirational. Truly Spirit-inspired. Jesus is offering people God's dream of a world that would include all people over an abundance and purpose and belonging and healing to everyone who wanted it, and to include a guaranteed of life in this world and the world to come that was fulfilling, peaceful, inspiring, and filled with grace and love as people live in covenant with God and his promises. Well, now I think what I'd like to do is get into my sermon. Because Jesus did not mince words. However, when it comes to the cost of discipleship or aligning with his vision, he clearly laid out the risks and the dangers that a Jesus disciple would likely encounter. Think about it. Persecution, hunger, long days of travel, disappointment, pushback, anger, even death. So why would anybody sign up for a mission like that? Well, the answer is simple. Because they believed with all their hearts, mind, and souls in the vision that Jesus is presented. Their faith in God informed them in a gut-certain kind of way that what Jesus said and who he was rang true and trustworthy to them. He was the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and they were willing against all odds to see the mission through to the very end, because they knew in their hearts that his vision has become their vision, God's vision, a vision for all. So the disciples needed to be God-inspired and fully committed. Because if they only went halfway or half-hearted or half-committed, they would never get the mission complete. Jesus didn't give his disciples milk and toast or even a Pollyanna view of what this job as a disciple would entail. No, he was honest, brutally honest, so and challenged them in ways that sounded like the world's best determined. Now, you need to put me in this mission first in your life. That's what he's telling them. Even before your own family. You know, that's one of the reasons, and that's, this is a silly, probably analogy, but when the Roman Catholic decided not to have their priests married, at one time they were allowed to marry, and the reason they didn't want them to be but burdened down with the responsibilities of a family. So if they would just be committed to the church, they could be the best pastor ever. Well, I don't know about that. But I do know that we need to put Jesus and his mission first in your life. Even before your own family. Yeah, you need to carry the same cross that Jesus was carrying, even unto death. Now, you'll be opposed at every turn and challenged beyond for that belief, but think about it. Every bit of your faith will be tested and dragged through the gauntlet. You'll have to give up your dream of accumulating wealth and status and adhering to the old traditions. Yeah, this will be one of the hardest journeys you ever took. Okay? Jesus is telling them. Are you with me, guys? Well, they all take it on. Every one of them, at least initially. Eventually, Judas would break that. But the others would go on to risk their lives and their lifestyle, their reputation, their well-being, their wealth, if they had any, through hardship and terrors and even death. Because they believed in Jesus' identity, his purpose, his vision, and his mission. Their loyalty never wavered. Their faith never faltered. Now, I think it's incredible when you think about that. But it's still our challenge today, isn't it? Even in our own country, the challenge of discipleship, evangelism, apostleship is not the danger that it is in some countries around the world, that's for sure. But as we as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ have grown lackluster, apathetic, immobile, uninspired, we cling to our buildings, our past, and our data. But Jesus calls us on our faith, faith strong enough to move mountains. Our belief in God's vision and power of change, our commitment to God and God's people. Our inspiration to see through discipleship purpose. We are challenged to believe so deeply and fully in Christ's resurrection and healing power that we feel inspired to go out and offer that gift to others. We are challenged to trust so fully in the power and the promises of God that we pray fervently, share exhaustively, and proclaim the vision of Jesus, of a world filled with love, even in the face of a world filled with division. So we are called to an adventure that is hard, but the Spirit inspired it. And we are required, at least much of us, that we would infuse this in our lives with God's purpose and yield our own life's reward. Now, Travis is not with us today. Him and Tina are traveling. But we do have some retired firefighters in the congregation. And I found a sign one time. It was outside of a fire company. You know, just driving around. And the fire company was advertising for firefighters. It said this: wanted, loyal firefighters. Dangerous work, long hours, no pay, and a free cool hat. Now, I think that description doesn't seem that it would attract anybody, but it's honest, authentic, and attracted exactly those who would want to commit to doing that job, especially the volunteers. with a sense of adventure that was required to see it through. They got their firefighters, and Jesus continues to call his disciples to trust him, to have faith in him, who he is, and what God can still accomplish in this world when hearts are filled with the promise of the gospel. So the question for all of us, will you answer his inspiring call? And will you rise to the challenge and the adventure of a disciple for this time and place? Do you trust his story? Well, my hope and prayer is that you do. That's what we celebrate today on Holy Communion Sunday, as we take time to realize and thank God for what he has done for us and trust in his story. Well, I'll pray that not only you are a disciple, but you'll share that story with others so they too can become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves you, and so do we.